With you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Our opening hymn is number 698, May We Thy Precepts, Lord, Fulfill. We heard that introduced to us in the prelude. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 4. It's on page 203 and following. We'll use the worship insert from this last Sunday. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you shower down upon us, blessings that we in no way, shape, or form deserve. Heavenly Father, forgive us for taking these blessings for granted. Forgive us for our poor stewardship of these blessings. Teach us that everything we are and everything we have are precious gifts from you. And teach us the greatest blessing of all: forgiveness, life, and salvation won by the perfect death and obedient and glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless us as we come into your house tonight, giving you thanks and praise and humbly receiving your gifts. In Jesus' powerful and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We say 698. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Righteous are you.
us pray. Lord, we implore You, grant Your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow You, the only God, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
Testament for this evening is from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring you to shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read now the gradual for this day. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts. The epistle is from Ephesians, chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing now hymn 587. Please be seated.
Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the 25th chapter of the book of Proverbs, summarized perfectly, as you would expect, by Jesus himself in the last words of our gospel lesson. Dear friends in Christ, it was just recently that I heard the commercial advertising adult education at a major university. The spokeswoman talked about, you know, convenient hours, practical classes, and then came the punchline. She said, "This is the education that I deserve." The education she deserves. That was the hook intended to grab the listener, and I have no doubt that it was quite effective. We like being told that we deserve things. From a good education, to a well-paying job, to an attractive spouse. Yes, of course I deserve all those great things. It's like when you drive by on the highway and you see spray painted on an overpass, God loves you, and you think, yeah, he does. I'm a pretty lovable guy. I deserve to be loved by God. We like to demand our rights, don't we? Indeed, the Constitution of the United States of America could not be ratified until the framers added a Bill of Rights. It's kind of in our DNA. We're always looking for the slightest offense, the most minor infringement on our perceived rights, and we will pounce, verbally or legally. Rights become a weapon, a bludgeon to beat down others, the tool of our selfish pride to get our own way, and the courts invent new rights all the time. We think we deserve certain things. We have a right to them, and therefore we expect others to give them up. You see, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature all preach pride. Pride which demands what we think we deserve, our rights. But what we often find is that not everyone indulges my pride. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Pride goes before the fall. We've all heard that, haven't we? We don't really believe it. We still jockey for position, not necessarily before kings and nobles, but before employers and friends, at the dinner table and at church meetings. We desire for others to give to us what we think we deserve, to look on us as highly as we look at ourselves. And then we take this attitude toward God, demanding that He give to us what we deserve. Our default setting is pride. We seek our own honor. But Solomon teaches us that the one who exalts himself will be forcibly humbled before men and before God. What honor do you have before God? What good is it to exalt yourself before the one who knows you inside and out, who knows your every sin, who is jealous for the glory of His name? Jesus didn't seek His own honor. He didn't ask for what He deserved. The perfectly innocent Son of God, deserved all the honor and all the glory that men and God could give. What he got was a cross. St. Paul teaches, being found in humble form, human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ humbled himself before men and God, even unto a death that he didn't deserve. He submitted to the Father's will for you and for me. For those trapped in pride, he humbled himself and then was told, come up here, as he was exalted to the right hand of God. We would not have endured such injustice upon us. Indeed, we can hardly stand any injustice. We demand our rights and we are ready to take any to court who violate them. But once again, pride goes before the fall. Solomon says, what your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? The one who quickly or all the time goes to court may find himself not only disappointed, but humiliated and embarrassed. Argue your case with your neighbor yourself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. The one who tries to gain an edge by revealing the secrets of others will simply receive the reputation of a gossip who cannot be trusted. And just as surely as if you hung a sign around your neck, your ill repute will have no end. Rights are good things, I suppose, useful for protecting us from each other. But we shouldn't kid ourselves that the concept of rights is Christian. What rights do you have before God? What do you deserve from Him? What you have a right to is death. What you deserve is hell. We shouldn't be too quick to demand from God what we think we deserve. For God's holy law tells us what we deserve: eternal judgment. Jesus didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve God's judgment or man's judgment. He was brought before Pilate without a fair trial, and then judged before the governor with a mob exerting pressure on the supposed impartial judge. But he didn't demand his rights. He didn't ask for what he deserved. He asked for what you deserve. He took what you deserve upon himself. He didn't protest the injustice done upon him, but instead fulfilled the scripture. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We would have protested. We would have opened our mouths. The injunction of Jesus to turn the other cheek is frequently quoted but rarely followed. We don't want to be corrected or called to repentance. Indeed, the itching ears of pride listen to voices which promise much and deliver quite little. These voices call on you to demand your own rights, to claim that education, that job, that position, that spouse, that vacation, that TV that you deserve. Solomon calls such preachers empty, worthless. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift that he does not give. Nothing that the preachers of pride promise will last. No matter what they give, no matter what they claim to give, may not even materialize in the first place. But while our pride refuses to hear correction or reproof, in the eyes of God, the messengers who speak the words which call us to repentance are the most valuable treasures in the world. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reproof to a listening ear. These voices, these preachers of repentance, may not promise you the world. They may not stroke your pride.
The messengers that Christ sends out to kill your pride are a precious treasure. Their words on their lips are more valuable than gold or silver because they proclaim the glory that Christ has won for you. You didn't deserve it. You don't have a right to it, but it is given to you as a gift, full and free, won by Jesus. You've been struggling in the pride, trying to exalt yourself, demanding your own rights, struggling to crawl to the top of whatever social or business ladder you are on. Repent. And here a Jesus treasure for you as a drink of cool water that satisfies forever. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the souls of his masters. In the heat of harvest in northern Israel, first century northern Israel, I guess even before that, a generous master, if you had one that was really nice, in the heat of harvest, he would send a couple of servants up into the mountains to gather buckets of snow, which you then bring down to quench your aching thirst. That is the picture that Solomon gives of the messengers of the gospel. You dwell in the desert of pride. Repent and hear the gospel. Receive the cool water of Christ's victory for you. If anyone had a right to be proud, it was Jesus. And laid down all of his rights for you. He made himself humble, even to the point of death, dying for you and for me, trapped in the bondage of pride, dying to forgive your sins, to set you free, to release your bonds. He laid down his life unto death, humiliating himself before God and men, knowing that he would be exalted, knowing that his Father would say to him on the third day and then on the 40th day, come up here to the right hand of my throne. You know what, dear friends? You live with the same confidence. You have no need to demand your rights, to seek what people value you deserve. You have exaltation coming. But not as something to earn, not as your right, but as a gift. On the last day, the Father will say to you what he said to Jesus. Come up here. And he will take your place, your given place, at the King's banquet forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand with prayers to the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, giver of all good blessings, we thank you for the gifts you have showered down upon us. Teach us to be good stewards. Bless us that we would daily die with our sin and pride and evil desires and rise forth with Christ, a new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the proclamation of your word. Prepare hearts to receive your word as a cool drink, a drink that truly satisfies, a drink that will last forever, coming from the one who truly is the water of life, our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Keep us faithful. Bless us in our proclamation. Be with all pastors, teachers, church leaders. We ask your blessings specifically upon Dr. Allman, as he has accepted a call to serve you in Houston, Texas. Bless him with faithfulness. Bless them in their transition. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to be with all those who are sick or suffering or recovering this day. We ask your blessings and your healing touch for Joyce, for Mildred, and for Cleo. Heavenly Father, if it be your good and gracious will, heal them from their affliction and grant them grace each and every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are the giver and sustainer of life. We thank you for the gift of life, and we ask you to teach us to number our days. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day, and be with all those who are preparing for their entrance into heaven. We especially ask your blessings upon Larry and Diane in hospice care. Heavenly Father, bless them with a strong and unwavering faith, and Heavenly Father, grant them a peaceful departure in your perfect time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who come at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of Jesus in and under bread and wine. Bless us with repentant hearts and eyes that truly see Christ's presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence at worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a gift-giving God who shares blessing upon blessing, and then the greatest blessing, Jesus, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. With the service of the sacrament, page 208 and following. Please stand as you're able. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord. Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made His cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in Him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of His cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in His body and blood. Hear us as we pray in His name, and as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please remain standing. We sing the common doxology. Welcome in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes if you haven't already done so. They're on the back shelf behind the back pew. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We're getting closer and closer to our celebration of the 500th anniversary of the posting of the 95 Theses. We will be having two celebrations here at Good Shepherd. The Sunday before the 31st, on the 29th of October, we're going to pull out all the stops for the Sunday morning service. And because that's not enough, on that following Wednesday, November 1st, we're going to do it all again and celebrate Reformation twice. We can't do it 500 times, but we're going to do it twice in honor of the 500th anniversary. And we pray God's blessings upon our celebration. Not a honoring a celebration of self-identity or the man Martin Luther, but justification by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but thanks be to God, He gives it to us anyway. The youth have a couple of activities that are coming up. One of them is absolutely inconceivable. Princess Bride, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock.
I believe, is it?
Three, 2 o'clock. Unfortunately, I'll be in Grand Island.
And Roca Scary Farm on Friday, on Saturday night.
Roca Scary Farm on Saturday night. Yes. Where else can you see the most beautiful woman in the history of the world, according to the movie? True love, a six-fingered man, and Andre the Giant all at the same time on the same screen. So, it'll be a great time, and it'll be a lot of fun. With the showing cult classic Princess Bride. So I don't know, anything else? I think we're good. Have a great day and week and life, enjoying the blessings of God.